You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 153.
Season 6, episode 29.
Of Two Mr. P's in a Podcast with me, Mr. P.
I'm the other Mr. P.
We're nearly there, guys. Welcome to our penultimate episode of season 6. We've got one more episode after this one, then we will be taking a bit of a break over the summer as we usually do, recharging the old batteries. So hope you're doing well, hope you're doing all right. I know it's a very busy time of the school year. We've got shows, we've got end of year leavers assemblies, we've got transition, we've got... I'll tell you what's been late for a lot of schools. I know we talked about this on the podcast of a week about... sort of finding out where you're going to be next year. A lot of schools still haven't got it all sorted.
Build the drama.
I don't think it's that. I think there's genuinely not enough teachers to fill posts. No one knows if you're leaving, stay. It's all up in the air. But we hope you're well. How's your week been, Adam?
Yeah, it's been all right. Tiring, just as normal. I think everyone's at the same point this year. I mean, I'm not going to lie, I'm absolutely cream cracking at the minute. And it's just like, it's that bitty time, like finishing off time in lessons and stuff. And the children are on, you can feel like the kids are on, you know, they're on the wind down and you're trying to keep them motivated and try and keep them, concentrated. And then, I don't know, the weather's been weird, hasn't it? Like, you know, wet play in July. Mid-July, wet play. Yeah. If that doesn't sum up Great Britain, I don't know what does. So I think it's just, yeah, once we get this week out of the way, hopefully next week it'll be filled with stuff and it'll be like, yeah, right, we're nearly there. And with every day, you're just chalking it off and then boom, like some... I mean, if you go back, we're saying season 6 of the pod, and I know I think we broke the first two down or whatever we did. If you go back on like the episodes just pre-summer, every time we'd be like, never wanted to break so much. But I swear, I've never needed the break so much. I mean, I love my job and I love working in school, but I'm like, I feel like everyone's at the same point now where it's just like, right, okay.
Well, I think...
You're done, I'm done.
I think this could end up being a primary source of information in years to come. When public services, because of the current state of affairs, basically unsustainable, they may well use this podcast as a primary source of information as to how the teaching profession ended up just crumbling. Because as time goes on, we just become more and more fed up, tired, crawling to the end of year. And I know everyone's feeling the exact same. I think obviously this year it has been really tough, obviously, with all the strike action, with the cost of living. It's just been, you know, and there's not a lot of great things to celebrate about living in this fine country at the minute when you've got all this stuff going on. So it is tough. It's definitely taken its toll. And but
I do want to say that I've received some really, really lovely messages. I know I sent you through.
Are you all right?
I sent a
Should
few.
Turn you off and turn you back on again.
I sent a few through right. to you.
What time? 2:30.
I need the loo. So you know, so many people. I think I've got one here, and we do really appreciate it. And obviously, you know, we are tired and stuff, but we do love doing these episodes and we love getting together and having a catch up and stuff. And there's one here, just wanted to say thank you to you and IC2, Mr. P. I'm a teacher and have just turned 30. Find myself living alone for the first time following a tough breakup and a house sale. Back to expensive renting and lots of loneliness. Your podcast is such a mood booster for me and makes me laugh on my own and feel a little bit less alone. So thank you. Keep up the good work and top laughs. And, you know, we do massively appreciate it. I mean, like we say, we are shattered. You've been travelling, haven't you? I've obviously been in school and I've got my own kids at home. And it's just, but this is a nice little respite. And hopefully, you know, if we're giving people a little bit of, is it solace? Is that the right word?
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I don't really know what it means. It's a risky one. I'm guessing solace isn't like a break, a bit of a relaxation.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm shattered as well. I've just literally done a 5-hour drive back from Southampton. So
5-hour drive into the old Mr. P. Not what you want.
It's not what you need. But because we've not got a kitchen, Mum's cooked a big fish finger pie. So I've got that to look forward to after this for my tea.
Nice.
So So I've just finished off my last two courses of the academic year. I did a day in Exeter yesterday, and then I was in Southampton today. And again, wonderful. You know, quite a few teachers coming to join, which was brilliant. So thank you very much for that. What
wonderful!
It was great. It's
just such a
funny
word.
I had. It's a bit of a weird one. So obviously, I in the past, I've done courses in July. And it's always been a nice way because, you know, staff lists are set and maybe someone's going to be the new computing coordinator.
Has anyone ever pre-lashed before one of your courses in July?
No. I've never
done
one.
That'd be decent, though.
I did like a heads talk in an evening and they were all having a few drinks.
Oh, yeah. A few settlers.
Yeah. I told you I did it was almost billed as like a stand-up. Rather than sort of CPD for a load of head teachers in Wakefield.
Recently.
Only recently.
Yeah, I think.
And they were all on it. Yeah. Which was interesting.
Why don't you like SLT, Mr. P? Which problem with SLT, Mr. P?
It was like half the room were really engaged and then half of them were just like, don't care what this chump's saying. I'm just getting on it and just, yeah.
That would have been me.
Yeah. So yeah, but this year it's been really weird because it's been just so sort of inconsistent with where I've done the courses. So in some place like Southampton today had quite a lot of teachers there, which was great. But then I was in Bury last week and there was only a handful. Mm. So it's and obviously with the way budgets are, I know it's tough for teachers to get out of classrooms. So I do massively appreciate it. But I've just been shattered because I had a very rare night. In fact, I've had two nights out in the past week. Which, you know, for me, is unheard of. So last week, I managed to get down to London for the HarperCollins summer party. Right. So since we've had the books out, each year they do a summer party in London, which we've never been able to go because we're always in school. But this year, I managed to go. And obviously, you couldn't make it.
No.
So I took my wife.
To your delight.
Yeah, I took my wife instead, which was lovely. So my wife was Lee and I was Adam. And that's how we snuck ourselves in. And it was lovely because it was like free bar. Didn't have to pay for a drink.
They purposely made it so I couldn't go.
Yeah, yeah.
They knew they were free bar. The old big man turning up, they knew.
And it was nice, like the weather was nice. I mean, it was a good job it was a free bar because, I mean, we did go for a couple of drinks in a pub beforehand and Jesus, the prices of a pint.
What are you talking? Talking seven nubs?
Oh, easy. Easy.
Seven nubs a pint is tough, isn't
it? I'd say it was even more than that, I think.
It's like when you go to a vending machine and you buy like a bottle of Coke or a bottle of Coke Zero for like $2.50 and you think, if I went to Home Bargains, I could get like a crate of six for like two.
I know. So, met some really nice people, met Joe Wicks, met Tired and Tested, Sophie McCartney, who've had on the podcast before, met some really nice people. The weirdest one was, like, we turned round and stood there. You know, when you see someone, you're like, who are you again? You know, and Claire said to me, who's that in the glasses? Really recognise him. And it was only Nadeem Sahawi.
The politician?
Tory politician.
Oh, yeah.
He was EdSec for...
Yeah.
Yeah, he joined the esteemed list of every Tory MP. Like... This is the thing. This was the thing that blew my mind. So he's obviously had to resign recently because of scandal around his finances.
Well, he got done, didn't he? Wasn't he one of the ones that got done with like the fake interviews? Like Matt Hancock got done.
No, it was. He wasn't one of them.
Are you sure?
He was one who was like...
I could have swore he was one of them.
Well, he might have
where
been.
Where they were like, what would you be looking for a salary? He was definitely one of them. And then he was like, oh, for a day, 30 grand.
That was Kwarteng.
Why is that not the same guy?
No, that was Kwarteng. That was Kamikwaze.
Oh.
Only tanked the economy with lettuce Liz Truss.
Sorry, right.
Tip of the iceberg, guys.
Nowhere on politics.
So he was, and what blew my mind was he swanned in, right? He's just been sacked,
disgraced.
Basically. Disgraced, you know, and he swanned in with no shame at all. And
some just, people.
It just blew my mind because, you know, you can't say, as teachers, we get scrutinised massively.
Mm.
You know, we've had stories before where, you know, teachers get in trouble for just making the innocent mistake of, instead of texting parents saying bring wellies in, they accidentally end up spelling send willies in. And, you know, you'd feel shameful. As a teacher, you'd feel utter shame.
Well, coming out to get your class after a text that says bring your willies in would be tough.
Right, so one of the dilemmas we had, and this won't be the main dilemma, but it's stuff like this, right? This is how much we care. I accidentally said I love you at the end of a phone conversation with a parent. I just hung the phone up. So do I continue to pretend it never happened? Do I front it up and apologise? I haven't seen the parent since, right? So that was one of the dilemmas.
Do you want me to answer that?
Go on.
Easy. If that's me, and I'm on the phone to a parent, and I go, listen, you know, something's happened today, they've bumped their head, they're absolutely fine, don't worry about it. Anyway, take care, love you, bye. I'd just, next time I saw him, I'd be like, you won't believe how much I cringed at myself, by the way.
Yeah.
I said I loved you on the phone, but that's just force of habit, because I say it to my nana and my mum and my wife all the time.
Ooh, so you've then insulted the parent by, first of all, saying they reminded you of nana.
No. No.
Well, to be fair, a lot of people find that a compliment.
Yeah.
But, you know, we would worry about stuff like, here he is, being part of a Tory party who's just wrecked everything. Just the lack of sort of shame was just astounding. It really, really was. And I was just like, and no one really made a fuss of him that I noticed, and I don't think he stayed very long. But just the way he walked in, he was like, yeah, you want me? And it's like, seriously.
It's like me after the staff do. Make an absolute complete tit of myself, then come swanning in on Monday like, hey guys, good night. Don't remember it myself.
Yeah. Which reminds us that obviously with it being next last episode next week, any funny end of term stories, end of term party stories, funny presents, anything like that. I put a few posts out this week, but yeah, if you've got anything, do let me know. So obviously came and we were staying in London, and it was Wimbledon as well, so we ended up staying at a hotel where I think quite a few people were staying and going to Wimbledon.
Mm.
I'd love to do Wimbledon.
Yeah, I'd like to go Wimbledon.
Like, yeah. Mm. It's a few things like Glastonbury.
My only thing with Wimbledon would be I would feel just completely
out of your depth.
Out of my depth and unwanted. So when they were all like,
is that because you can't wear a wrestling t-shirt?
No,
Wimbledon?
But.
Hey!
Pot kettle, you've got it on.
I've got my Hulkamania from the Hulk store in Orlando.
I feel like I go there and then everyone would be like, oh, are you drinking the Prosecco or the Pimm's and lemonade? And I'd just be like, you're not getting a cold one? You're not getting a big pint of brewski?
I'd definitely be on the Pimm's. So then at the weekend, my wife had booked us tickets to go to Castlefield Bowl, which is sort of this big outdoor performance space. They do lots of concerts, and basically they've had someone on every night in June, maybe.
Yeah, one of my mates from work went to see Pulp.
Pulp were there, yeah. Bastille were there, I think Blossoms have done a show. And it's actually a really, really nice venue.
Mm.
And so my wife booked us tickets for Hacienda Classical, which is, you know, the old Hacienda Club in Manchester, a bit before my time. But they do a night where they get a live orchestra band playing all the hits.
I mean, it does say what it says on the tin.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And obviously a couple of my mates had booked tickets as well, so we sort of went out for the afternoon. But, I mean, it was forecast rain. It was forecast rain all week, but it was forecast at the beginning of the day. So the boys had a football tournament first thing on Saturday morning, so I had to be up at ridiculous o'clock, and I'd left my umbrellas at the rugby club. So one of the parents had picked the umbrellas up, so I had to get up even earlier to get the umbrellas to sort of shield me from the rain during the football tournament. Didn't rain a drop during the football tournament.
Yep.
Then I left the umbrellas in the car as we went out, and it was all brilliant to begin with. The sun was shining, there's DJs playing, the drinks were going down, we'd had something to eat, it was really nice, and then it just unleashed. And I mean, buckets. I don't think I've ever been as wet. Luckily, had a poncho.
Crucial. Right? And were they selling ponchos there?
No, they weren't selling ponchos there.
That would have been a big... That would have been a big...
Luckily, Claire had grabbed a couple off Amazon. But one of the lads we were with was sort of taking the mick on the taxi there about, I'm not wearing a poncho. Why would I wear a poncho? And then his wife gave away... So she had a poncho for him and said, "You're not going to wear it?" He's like, "No, I don't need it. It's not even going to rain." Gave it to someone. And then he just got absolutely drenched to the point he didn't even make it. He was that wet he had to go home.
Really?
Yeah, because he was like shivering. Steve from rugby.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so we managed to stay there, but it was a bit of a washout.
Shaking Stevens.
Yeah, he was. He was. But I couldn't stomach beer. So I went on like cans of gin, pink gin and tonic.
Nice Gordon's.
Yeah. I loved it. It was going down so nicely, but
I always think the dangerous, those cans, because they taste so sweet and just so they go down so easy that you pop in two or three cans in, and then suddenly you're like, whoa! You take that step and you go, wow, Owen Wilson. Suddenly you're like, wow.
Yeah, I felt it on the Sunday. I don't think I've recovered properly now. To be fair, it's been.
Well, I'm out this weekend. I've got my work's due on Friday night, where a lovely, lovely TA from my school is retiring at the end of this year after 25 years in the school. Yeah, shout out. So we're going out to celebrate her. It's funny, lad today I was speaking to. So we've got a lad in who works, got a job in reception. Now, that's rare, isn't it?
What?
A lad working in reception. I don't think I've ever encountered a male reception teacher. I know there are.
There's one in my school.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I've never encountered one. And
sounds
he's just,
fair.
Yeah, such a top, top lad. Get on with him really well. But he's kind of let slip that he's a bit of a lightweight on the old sesh, right? So he said to me, he was like, "I'm not drinking with you. I've heard about you." Hey. I was like, have you?
A good thing,
and
that.
Then he went, "What's this I hear about Mysterious Girl?" I was like,
dear.
"You have been told, son." And then he was just like, "So seriously, like, how much do you reckon you would drink?" Like, now the worst I've been in at work's do with my current work, that is, because my old work, that was an absolute bloodbath, but I was really sensible my first year. It was the end of year do. And I was really sensible, and I thought, I'm just going to take my time. And I remember, I've said this before on the pod, they put Mysterious Girl on, and I didn't get up. I was like, no, you know, funny, no, it's all right. Fast forward a year, I'm more comfortable. They know me more.
Yeah.
And I'd had a bit of a bad day. I'd had some news in work that I wasn't very happy about, right? Okay. So I went out in a bit of a huff. And one of my close co-workers was like, "Oh, come on, snap out of there. You know, come on, let's have a bottle of rosé." Now, I like a rosé, but it's rare, because in Magaluf, when me, Slev and Charlie went Magaluf, we were doing 7-8 bottles a night, and it was like, it's 6 or 7 each. So then, I started sharing a bottle of rosé with a co-worker, and before I knew it, I was hosting this quiz, because he always get me to host this quiz. And then suddenly I was like, it was Owen Wilson. I went to the toilet and I looked in the mirror and went, "Wow, like, I feel great, wow." And then I came out and bought a bottle to myself. And they said, "Sorry, mate, we're out of wine glasses." I said, "Don't worry, I'll take a pint glass," right?
Oh, God.
So I started drinking rosé out the pint.
Jeez.
Before I knew it, I got sent videos the next day of like me stripping to Mysterious Girl. But then not only that, I've done Mysterious Girl. That's when the top should come back on.
No.
But for some reason, I'm straddling a chair to I Would Do Anything for Love by Meatloaf, right? Which I don't even know how that works. But I think the worst thing about it was the weather was so hot that week at school.
I bet I people walked in going, this is such a crap tribute act to Meatloaf. I mean, he's got the body.
He's enough of the stuff. But the weather had been so mint at school that I'd like tanned slash burn all my arms. So when I took my top off,
you look like it looked like a drumstick.
It looked like I had a white t-shirt on, like a skin tight t-shirt on. And you know when like you know that everyone's talking about it, but you've broken up, so it's a bit like never mind.
Blow over.
But I remember I always remember, and I was trying to think of this. I remember we did a live podcast in London. Do you remember that podcast festival?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I remember speaking about this. Now, I can't remember for the life of me whether I've told this story on the pod or not, but I'm going to tell it anyway because we want to try and coax some end-of-year tales. And
yeah, share our embarrassing ones.
I want to bring back the legend that is Cockney John. Now, you've definitely heard this before, but I just do want to say it again for any new listeners. So I always remember one of our first year I met Cockney John, we got really close, and obviously at that time I was with Kim. We just got together. So we all had a big pre-lash at Kim's house, right? Kim's flat. And we were playing beer pong. First ever time Cockney John had played beer pong. What does he play with?
Oh, Jack Daniels.
Jack Daniels, yeah. Absolute shout. You know the man well. He was drinking Jack Daniels. I said to him, I wouldn't drink Jack Daniels playing beer pong. Bruv, I'll be fine.
I love
Jack. Yeah, I'll be sweet. It's a bottle of Jack. What's the worst that can happen? Well, a lot, mate. Right? So, fast forward, we're in the he goes through a glass table at Kim's. It's like WWE. Luckily, he's okay. We get him into the taxi and we go into this like outdoor, like it was kind of drinks on the lawn and then it was like a party inside. But Cockney John was out the taxi like a dog going like, aah! Like getting the wind blowing in his face. Kim basically sits John down in the taxi and goes, John, listen to me very carefully. You are mashed. Whatever you do, if the head teacher or the deputy head teacher speak to you, do not say anything to them, because as you all know, Cockney John doesn't mince his words. He's got a foul mouth and it could be losing his job territory, right? So we pull up to this party. Who are the first people that greet us? The head and the deputy. Sir. So I'm there, you know, like, hi, okay? And she's like, hello. You remember like my old head? Baz. And then she's like, hello. And I'm like, hello. It sounds like Bean, doesn't she? Bean. And then, so anyway, we're getting on with our night, and then someone's like, has anyone seen John? Anyway, he's round the side having a sneaky smoke, right?
Yeah.
Cigarette.
Right.
And anyway, the head grabs Kim and goes, what's wrong with John? And Kim goes, like panicking a bit, nothing wise, he's fine. She went, well, I was just trying to speak to him and he was just staring at me, not saying anything, right? And then I said to John, I was like, did you just stare at the head and not say it? He went, I smashed it, bruv. I didn't say one single word to her. Kim told me not to speak. And I was like, that's even worse. Supposedly she was going like, so have you had a good year? And he was just like, just swaying.
Just like Undertaker.
Yeah.
Staring her. Rest.
Yeah. And yeah, anyway, good to catch up.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
We also got sent another story. I know you were talking before about people enjoying the pod. This one was funny. So, hi, Mr. P. So this is from Johnny. Hi, Miss P. Just thought I'd send you a quick story to give you a little chuckle. So I currently work for the NHS, but will be starting my teacher training course in September, going from one underfunded public sector to another. And I love listening to your podcast while I go on my bike rides. Now, usually I'm often caught laughing to myself, making me look a little weird. But today, I was laughing so hard at last week's episode about the sports day stories, so much that I crashed into a lamppost in a cycle lane. Only realised right at the last minute and couldn't swerve it. Thankfully, both myself and my bike were unharmed, but I certainly won't be recommending your podcast while cycling in the future.
I had to give myself CPR.
Yeah, luckily I called a colleague from work.
That's crucial, though, whoever he goes to work for. Automatic first aider.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're a first aider? Trained first aider? Yeah, well, actually, I work for the NHS. Yes.
So if you've got any other funny stories around end of year do's, anything like that, do let us know. Right.
Help me, I have a dilemma. It's causing more pain than a vinegar enema. Help me, please, I need you to. Mr. P, some help from you, please.
We're going to start. Well, I've got two sort of dilemmas this week, but one of them's not so much a dilemma. Well, it starts off with, this isn't so much of a dilemma, rather than a question. So, we're going to start with this one. I work in a big school, and like many teachers, have been striking over the last few months. There's only a couple of us who have chosen to strike, yet we feel like we are being judged by our colleagues. They've openly admitted that they would never choose to strike as it has a negative impact on children. I get that, but I also get the chronic underfunding of our education system, and that has more of a negative impact. I know one colleague who joined the strike days used it to catch up on work. I know a couple would strike but can't afford it. I completely understand the financial implications, which again reinforces my reasons for striking. But when this one particular colleague is in the staff room boasting about how they would never strike because they would never want to let children down, and it's said in a way to take a dig at those who are striking, like they are somehow better, I feel like screaming. It's because of this attitude that's allowed our profession to be so undervalued. I want to make it clear this has nothing to do with our SLT, and they've been really supportive. I just hate the way teachers can use any opportunity to take a cheap shot to make themselves look better than others. We need to be supporting each other. I almost feel like if we do get a better pay deal, as wishful thinking, she shouldn't be entitled to it. Is that wrong? How would you deal with these types of teachers?
Well, I'll let you go first because obviously you're passionate. I'm passionate, but it's different for me because I've not been like striking and that.
I completely get people who have chosen not to strike for financial reasons, mm-hmm. right? I get how tough it is at the minute. I get that it's the public sector who are always just the ones to be squeezed more than anyone else as far as pay and the. I completely get that. But I'm on a side here. The ones who turn round and sort of go, oh no, I wouldn't do it to the children, need to get in the bin, mm. right? And what she said there about she shouldn't be entitled to it, I almost agree. I almost feel like, yeah, if we do get a better pay deal, those who have chosen not to strike for no other reason than try, you know, that sort of attitude of, It's like that martyr sort of thing of,
yeah.
Oh God, you know, and there's loads of teachers out there like that where they're sort of try and act like they're better than other people because they do all the extra work and, you know, I'm not in it for the income, I'm in it for the outcome. And it's like, you've got to see the bigger picture. Yes, these strikes are disruptive. We know this. We know that they cause... that's the whole point, but it's the only thing we've got. It's the only thing we've got as far as taking a stand and saying it's not good enough anymore that the government continue to decimate the profession. And it's because of people like this who allow the government to get away with it, which is contributing to this. If we don't all take a stand, where's it going to go? And it's just, yeah, it's just really frustrating that there are teachers. And I know this isn't the first, because I've been messaged about SLTs making teachers feel guilty if they strike. And it has, the one thing you don't want it to do is cause any division within the profession. And look, you know, when I strike, I know that it's sort of, I know, so most of my staff are in a different union. So when I strike, I know I'm sort of, you know, putting them at a bit of a... Mm. I'm making their life harder, aren't I? Because, you know, I'm not there. I mean, to be fair, they're probably buzzing. Like, sure, I don't want to strike every day. But I get that. But at the same time, I know that they would strike if the union had got through the... But they would look at me and sort of be like, yeah, he's doing it for the right reasons. He's doing it on our behalf.
Mm.
To have people who are like, oh, no, I wouldn't strike because I just hate
it. I'd throw two words out, and it's something that you and your mates used to say to situations, and that is care bear, which is translated to who cares, shut up. At the end of the day, I'm not saying about the arsehole teacher. Just like, care bear, like, I'm doing me. I'm doing what I think's right. If you think that, sweet. But at the end of the day, I agree. We can't have division. There's enough trouble with division in year four when you try and teach the bloody thing. Like, I just think that's just... You're always going to have those people who are up their own arse and who think that they're better, and it happens all the time. I just focus on you. You're doing it for the right reasons. And I just think if something like that comes up, I'd just be like, eh.
It would be good, though, if those teachers, it got to a point where, like, the government went, yeah, but we're only going to pay the teachers who have striked, right? So those teachers who haven't, again, I'm talking about those teachers who are saying they can't because of that attitude of, you know, I'm in it for the children. The financial side of things, I completely understand.
I think the tall and short of it, or whatever they're saying is, the long and curlies of it, I can't think of it, but... It's just simple, like, this, none of this should be happening. So this sort of, like, having to...
Well, it's
none of it should be happening. It's putting
your attention towards the right people. And, you know, by doing these strikes, it really, really winds me up when teachers get blamed for stuff, right? So the reason we're striking, and teachers don't take that... Because the thing to remember as well, and this is something that so many people don't seem to understand, is when a teacher takes the decision to strike, they do not get paid for that day,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it seems like there's a lot of people who think that it's teachers just choosing to, you know, just choosing to have a day off. Having a day, and I've seen people comment on social media going, I cannot believe I saw my child's teacher at Starbucks on strike day. It's like, well, yeah, they can do whatever they want.
Mm.
They're not getting paid for that day.
If I was striking, I'd go to cinema.
Well, yeah, do whatever you want. If you want to go and join in with the rallies and that sort of thing, go and do that. If you want to, you know, sleep in till midday, if you want to go out, do whatever you want. You're not getting paid. So, and the other thing that really, really pees me off.
I know what you're going to say. Go on. Parents saying I get fined when I take my kids out of school.
Right, and this is what really annoyed me, because... The BBC...
So surprised. You don't normally get annoyed about things.
The BBC, right. The BBC. I know they've got a lot going on at the minute anyway, but we're not going to get into that. The BBC even published an article where a dad had written a letter to say that he wants teachers fined because he got fined, right? And it got all this airtime, and I didn't hear it on Jeremy Vine, all this airtime. But then the BBC published it. Surely there's got to be checks. Surely there's got to be checks where someone goes, yeah, but you know teachers don't get paid for the strike day. You do know that.
Clickbait.
But the thing is as well, is with term time holidays, I get it. It shouldn't be a case that going on holiday during the summer is 10 times more expensive than during term time, right? That shouldn't be the case. There should be a system in place where it can be affordable for everyone.
Mm.
But that, again, is nothing to do with teachers. That's these holiday companies deciding that. So if you get annoyed, voice your opinion there, right? The other thing, teachers don't decide. We've said this before. Teachers don't choose to fine parents.
No.
It is a government decision passed down, and they're told, teachers are told, that children cannot take time out unless it's extreme circumstances. So holiday doesn't constitute, unfortunately. And therefore, you're not going to get it.
What about a steg?
No, I don't think
a big, dirty steg, dude.
Yeah. What's it called when you get it sort of approved?
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. So that, but that's not teachers choosing to do that, because, you know, I recognise that for some children, going on a family holiday can add so much value and amazing experiences. And, you know, personally, the odd time, I don't have an issue with it.
No.
But that's not a teacher deciding to fine the families. That's a government decision. So again, if you're annoyed with parents getting fined, voice your anger at the bloody government.
But can we please just give tip our hats to the porky pies out there, the liars? I mean, how funny is it when they go, oh, sorry, you know, Jeremy won't be in all week. He's really poorly. Jeremy comes back with the slickest tan.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what
hair
I mean?
Braid.
Yeah, henna tattoo.
Hair braid.
And then something like peeling on his nose.
Peeling on his nose. He's got like a shark tooth necklace.
And all those wrist bands.
Yeah, coming in like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
And then the thing is, the first mate he speaks to, oh, you should have seen it in Spain. And then the mate goes straight to you. Jeremy said he went to Spain, and you think, no.
Yeah.
Did he?
It's not even that. It's more blatant than that. You'll do show and tell, and the kid will be like, recently I went to Spain. Oh, no, I shouldn't have said that.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. So it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because obviously none of us want to be striking. We want to make sure. And, you know, the other one I get is whenever I post about the strikes, is the amount of like nursery workers and TAs who comment and go, what about us? What about us, right? And I get that, but, and by all means, if TAs, nursery workers, hopefully, I think TAs are being balloted. Are you in a union?
Yeah, I am in a union.
Yeah. So you should have been balloted, shouldn't you?
Not that I know of. Uh-huh. Unless it's on an email. They send a lot of emails.
They do send a lot of emails. But basically, I think the aim is to try and coordinate another strike if things don't get sorted, where all the unions, support staff are all involved. And I know that teaching assistants need to be paid more.
Uh-huh.
But if they're not striking, you can't just strike. It's got to be something that's built up to it. So I hate that sort of division where it's like, what about us in nursery? We get paid pittance. Right, we'll strike and I'll support you. You know, it's not a case of, it's not this race to the
bottom. I just think it's just a bit of a, it's just a sad time, isn't it, that it's come
to this.
Well,
I just feel like now the government are just digging their heels in and making sure. So these strikes were because this independent pay review body that the government said were good, you know, we've always respected it, we've always followed it. They've published the 6.5% pay rise. The government don't like that, so they're just refusing. So the strikes last week were about getting that report published. But I just feel like we're a year off an election. The government just aren't going to do anything. They're just going to dig their heels in, and this is going to continue, because I think deep down they know it's highly, highly unlikely they're going to win the next election. Therefore, they're just going to try and run everything into the ground to make it as bad and as worse as it can
and cause bus stop everywhere.
Yeah.
Bus stop division.
But obviously, Labour came out with their education sort of policy. Did you say anything about that?
No.
No. Do you want to talk about that?
I'm going to say no. Not that I don't care. It's just I feel like, you know, let's just get on with some bats.
Right. But, yeah, the thing about oracy, I was talking about this on the course, so I'll always say one thing. So the big thing from the Labour proposals is that they're going to put a massive focus on oracy.
What's
like
that?
Speaking and listening.
Okay.
Right. Which...
Glad I got that.
I completely agree, but it's already in the curriculum, right? It's already there. It's the first part of every year group's English curriculum, spoken language objectives. So it's already there. But no one's talking about why it's not being taught at the minute. And the reason it's not being taught is because schools still work so much that model of everything's got to be in a book. Book scrutinies, book looks, that fear-driven system that means teachers don't think they can do oracy because you can't evidence it in a book. That's what needs to change. Because oracy's been in the curriculum, but because of the obsession with accountability and teachers feel pressured to make sure everything's in a book all the time, is the reason they don't do speaking and listening. I talk about all of my training anyway. Book a place, I'm sure you'll enjoy it.
Can't wait to book that.
Right, here's another dilemma which sort of links into what you were saying before. Help/advice, please. I've been a teacher at my current school for 10 years. I, female, teach year three, and my colleague, male, teaches a mixed year 3-4 class.
Okay.
Right. Do you have mixed classes at yours?
No.
No.
My daughter's school does.
Yeah, we have in the Key Stage 1, but there is no set rule for how the Year 2 children are allocated classes. They are moved based on friendships and the opportunity to split up certain characters. Yeah, we know that. Every year, pushy, in inverted commas, parents want their child to be in the mixed class so that their child is learning at a Year 4 level, which is obviously never the case. They learn exactly the same thing. In the summer term, these pushy parents start making comments to the Year 2 parents, such as, I think it would be lovely for my child to have a male influence, or I think my child would do so much better with a male teacher. Reading between the lines, they're saying this because they want their child to end up in a mixed class. I'm not sure. I think genuinely a lot of parents say that about having a male teacher.
Yeah, male role model.
I've had that before. But it's starting to really bother me. I think for us to compare the genders of staff in school is wrong. I completely agree. I think the comments like this are so old-fashioned and I've really had to bite my tongue with parents. Do you have any good responses or comebacks I can use with parents when they make these comments? I'm finding it increasingly hard not to get on my soapbox and be that woke teacher. Love the pod. Thank you. Right. First of all, be woke. Be woke. Nothing wrong with being woke. I say, first of all, right. Second of all, just if the parents are going to play into that gender side of thing, just play up to it even more. Like, play into it. Oh, you want that male teacher, do you? The one that farts all the time. Yeah. You know, yeah. Play into those gender stereotypes. The one that never picks up his litter.
Yeah. And all he ever does is take the bin out.
Yeah. But I've had that. Have you ever had that where it's like parents?
I think you know, we are the minority when it comes to school staff. I think yeah. That's just a well-known fact, and I think a lot of people try and I think a lot depends on the families and the kind of male role models that may be around. And I have had that before where people appreciate the fact that I'm a bloke and it may be different, but I personally, I think times have changed now that, you know, there's nothing that a man does that a female teacher can't do. I don't understand that point of view. I mean, at the end of the day, if the male teacher was an outstanding, I was going to say that. Oh my God, who am I? If he was like an amazing teacher, and that other teacher hadn't been getting, you know, the right response off that class, or there'd been incidents or something, yeah, all in favour of prefer to be with that teacher. But if they're just both equally great teachers, I just think, you know, just pipe down and just get on with it. As long as your child's happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. Because yeah. you always have children who prefer different members of staff. And I think there is that kind of like, oh, you know, a man and especially like us being quite big as well. I think that in primary school...
Speak for yourself?
I think that in primary school... No, because it's just always... who was it? I was in year three the other day and I walked past someone and this kid just went, whoa. And I've worked with him all year. He went, whoa. And I went, what's up? He went, you're just massive. And I was just like, thanks. And I just think at the end of the day, it's 2023.
Yeah.
Like, all staff are the same. We do the same stuff. We, you know, act in the same manner. So if you're a parent there, I just say, hopefully, the parents don't get a choice of what class the children are in. That's up to the SLT, the teachers, to decide on best mixes, abilities, whatever it may be. I'm talking all right here, aren't I? And it's a case of, you know, just let them chatter. You're always going to get parents chattering, aren't you? It's just a fact. It's a thing of life.
The whole stereotype thing is, you know, slowly but surely we are getting there with it, but...
I try and break the stereotype on World Book Day.
Well, I
always
mean,
dress as a
woman. I know male teachers who are crap teachers.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I know one who got a job at a school purely because he was a male teacher, and he was garbage.
I hope you're not saying that's me, bro.
No, I was thinking of also, I was also going to say, you know, it could be Cockney John. No,
Cockney John is a cracking teacher, but he would completely agree, because Cockney John worked with obviously my wife, and I'm not gonna. Cockney John won't mind me saying this. My wife carried Cockney John, carried him.
Yeah,
you know, he was going through a bit of a rough time at the time. It was Cockney John, but. Yeah, my wife carried him, and Cockney John knows, like, you know, what an amazing teacher my wife is, and all the other members of staff. I just think, yeah, it's old fashioned that, and I think
it is old fashioned. But why not? Put those pushy parents in the mixed class, but then
swap the teachers.
Swap the teachers.
Now that would be a high level move.
Yeah, that'd be a great way of
another thing here is, you know, do the parents like the look of the male teacher?
Well, I mean, my thing is, right, a role model's a role model, right? Mm. It doesn't, the gender side of things, it doesn't matter, because, you know, I look at some of the staff. I remember when I had it where some teachers or some parents used to say to me, like, oh, we really hope they get you next year. And in my head, I'm like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
Because the other teacher's so much better than me.
Like, I love that. We really hope we get you next year. Why? I suck.
That's what I was like. Because I worked with some amazing teachers who were miles better than I am.
Mm.
But so just this idea that you're going to be better because you're a man is just, don't get me wrong, there's been some brilliant male teachers that I've worked with as well. I just don't think it makes a difference. And it sort of grinds my gear because I've had it since I was at uni. I remember that I was sitting in lectures where they'd purposely ask me questions because I was the only male in the room. And I was like, I've not been listening to a word you're saying. I have no voice here. I do not care.
Taking your earphones out. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing is, I think it's a fickle place because at the end of the day, their kids could go into that mixed class with that bloke. They'd be, you know, the bloke might have a go at one of them because he's not happy with the effort they're putting in. And then suddenly they go in, I don't like how he's talking to my child. I want my child moved into Miss Jones's class. And then suddenly it's like, oh, le shoes on le other foot.
Yeah.
Before we move on, there is just one story. I do want to say it because I don't want to forget about it. There's a couple of quick ones from me. A teacher told me yesterday she once went to compliment a girl on her shiny tights on non-uniform day, but instead she said, oh, look at those tiny shites. I love that. And then I've got a bit of a shout for you, but this story. Now, the two Mr. P's are here every week to try and not only give you the hilarity of working in a school, but also the innocence and how amazing it can be to work with children. And this story from a nursery teacher just highlights, just bless them. Bless their little cotton socks.
You look like you've got a story. It's probably not as good as Nana Maury's. Tell me your story anyway, I hope it's a hit. If it's not good, then I'ma go re-biff and chip. I hope the kippers there too.
Hi, I'm a nursery teacher. We had sad news from a family member that her auntie had passed away from a stroke. I had circle time with the kiddos, sharing news from the weekend, and this wee girl pipes up with, my great auntie went into town with my mum and someone stroked her and she's dead now. I couldn't help myself but laughing afterwards. Thank you for saving the laughter there. But how cute.
Yeah.
She thought her auntie went into town and someone went, hey, how are you? Stroked her. And she was like, oh! But yeah, I hope the family is okay. And then this final one for you here, quite interesting. Someone commented on the paperback release. So obviously last Thursday, if you didn't know, our second book, This Is Your Own Time You're Wasting, came out on paperback. A lot of people shouting that they've ordered it for their holidays and stuff.
Perfect end of year present for that end special of year school member.
And someone commented, I've just ordered mine. I have 8 days left of term working as a TA in EYFS. Next year, I'm moving to year 6. Any advice, Mr. P's? It's like going from the 18 to 30 and X Factor to groups.
Yeah.
Tough.
I don't know.
Try not to speak in the same way. I think it would drive the year 6 up the wall.
Yeah.
Do you need the toilet?
Yeah. I think you've got a... It's a completely different ball game, isn't it? A
lot
it?
Of shadow.
But what I will say is I don't like... This is another thing that piped up this week. You know when teachers do find out where they're going the next year? And there's a sort of mentality that if you go to year 6, it's deemed a promotion. And if you go down to EYFS, it's like a demotion.
Right, okay.
Which I hate. Because actually, EYFS always get the biggest amount of respect from myself.
We always do on the podcast.
We always do, because
I have nothing but love and respect for our EYFS.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Unbelievable.
So going from EYFS to year six is quite the jump. I'd obviously speak to all your colleagues and just
I'd
try
say
and get,
shadow a little bit. And
yeah,
maybe
if you can.
Try and go in there at the end of the year just to kind of see it. It will be a big difference, but I actually think there's one positive. Your back might feel slightly easier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a completely different ball game, but not necessarily a step up. It's an equal ball game. You just got to embrace
but
it.
But then, yeah, everything in between, you'll be so experienced. You'll have the littlies, then the oldies, and then you could go middlies.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot more marking.
I would say it's...
it's a lot more marking.
A lot more marking. But I'd say that there's that's a massive string to her
to bow,
though,
yeah.
Because... at the end of the day, like to be seen to go from EYFS to year six, I'm not saying it's a promotion, but they obviously have the backing that you can, you know, handle it.
Yeah.
Handle the pressure. It's a massive O. It's a massive O.
What do you know? You don't know nothing, it's a massive O. Right, we're going to finish off with some stories for you. So I've got some O's, right? And it's a bit of a weird post. It was a different tone with the O's.
Okay.
When I put it out there.
Do we need to... I mean, it's been a while, hasn't it? O's explanation? No?
Nah.
Just bad shouts.
Yeah, just bad shouts. An old member of staff... I mean, I don't even think this first one's a no. But an old member of staff made me move out of a chair she wanted to sit in when the surrounding eight chairs were all free. I was so shocked, I moved, and was really speechless.
That isn't a no, that's just an arsehole.
Engrossed in a practical math lesson, iPad in hand, head walks in, learning walk probably. Children all getting on and enjoying themselves, head said, you need to take photos, stick in 30 books with an LO and then get the children to write a sentence about what they've learned. We need evidence in books. My response, luckily, didn't come out of my gob. That's what I mean. It's sort of...
yeah, they're not quite O's.
I think... well, I thought I was getting O's. The post was like, what's... I think what's the most stupid thing that's come out of someone's mouth or something like that. Something along that.
That was more of a diabolical.
Yeah, a lot of my fellow colleagues don't like a bright light in the staff room, so we have a lamp. Another colleague said, it's too dark in here, so open the window.
Have you put a post out like, please tell us your most boring stories?
No, that's funny, that.
Is it?
Say, let me read it again.
Right.
A lot of my fellow colleagues don't like a bright light in the staff room, so we have a lamp. Another colleague said it's too dark in here, so I've opened the window. Opening a window won't make it more bright.
Oh.
We'll let you off, you're tired.
Might.
Nah.
If they have displays on and you open the window so you can see the sunlight.
Nah. You're not saving that. A TA asked if we'd get notified if there was an emergency fire alarm, just like during the drills.
Nah, that's more like it.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Me, why do you think pigeons bob their head when they walk? Friend, do you think it's because they've only got two legs? This is a great one. Deputy ordering rulers, the normal 30 centimetre ones from the catalogue. 30 metre rulers arrived. She said, they looked small in the book.
Oh my God.
Just underline your title. Well, guillotining someone's head.
I'd love to measure your embarrassment there.
Yeah. Discussing World War II topic and Anne Frank's diary, and a TA said, oh, I remember reading that at school, but oh, I can't for the life of me remember who wrote it.
Oh, my God. That is unbelievable.
That's a cracker,
isn't it? Anne Frank's diary. Oh, I can't for the life of me.
Let me just Google who the author is. Brilliant.
I think your computer should automatically break if you type in on Google who wrote Anne Frank's diary.
No, I think if you Google that, a picture should come up. Of like, just maybe O, maybe OB.
Oh, yeah, or just, you know that thing where you go on something on a school computer, I remember when and it takes a picture of you and goes like, firewall, safety net, if you type in that, idiot, woo-woo.
Someone told me during my NQT year that Ofsted were called Her Majesty's Inspectors because they actually worked for the Queen. And I had to curtsy to them, which I did.
Oh, no. Imagine, hello, I'm Miss Styles. Hello, my lady.
Her Majesty's Inspectors.
I hope you greet us with an outstanding...
Oh, God.
Kiss in the hand?
Yeah. When a colleague was commenting on another teacher's continual lateness, she said, someone needs to speak to her about her punctuation. The correct word there was...
punctuality.
Oh, nice.
Now listen, I might be in EYFS, but I've been in Year 6 as well, son.
The geography coordinator once told me that Belgium was in South America. Enough said.
You crazy. Hey, was that geography teacher? Hey, you want to see something cool, guys? Watch this. He could have told. A geography teacher could tell me anything. I'd be like, no way.
Yeah. When asked by an Ofsted inspector how I achieved the old parchment effect for the children to record their work, I proudly replied, tea bagging. At lunchtime, I informed my colleagues that he appeared impressed. They informed me of the meaning. As a 60-year-old female, I'd never heard of this practice. I was both acutely embarrassed, disgusted, and amused in equal measure. Plus, sighed, I got really good feedback.
I don't know if I could do that. It's like a 60-year-old woman says it, and then you're like, do you know what that means? How would you go about it? Go on. Imagine I'm a 60-year-old woman. Teabagging. How would you go about it? Do you know what that means? No, what does it mean?
Well, take a seat. No, no, no.
Open my eyes.
No. No.
Honestly, how would you say it?
Probably.
You'll have to tell me what it means.
I'd have to just try and explain it. Oh. Or... because you couldn't get a video.
I think you'd have to go Cockney John. Honestly, if that was Cockney John and the woman goes, what's it mean? What? It's when you dip your balls in a mouth. Nuff said, bruv, in a bit.
Oh, God.
There's not many people listening to this that don't know what it means, because they'll just be like, you do what?
Oh, God. Walked past a colleague's classroom on the board, saw the title, A Cross Stick Poem. A Cross Stick Poem. You know what?
Oh, yeah, Cross Stick Poems.
But they've spelled it
A
Cross Stick Poem.
So like
poem.
An angry stick in Dougie. Sticky, stick.
Friend put an advert on Facebook Marketplace for a Chester Draws. When telling the Christmas story, it must be NQT, it says NWT here, but it must be NQT, asked if the UIFS children knew what Jesus' daddy did for a living. When the child said fit carpet, she said, well done, that's right, a carpenter puts people's carpets in their house.
I think that, personally, is one of the cringy things. I think as a teaching assistant, if you're with a young member of staff and they make an error, but they're going with it, yeah. I mean, I always remember telling that example of when that NQT that I was working with was doing Roman numerals and she didn't have her badges. And at one point, I was sat with another member of staff who was basically observing her. And I said, what's the answer to this one? And the woman showed it me, it was like 250. And she was on 2 million. She was going, so I think the answer is 2,376,000. And I was just like,
oh, no. Oh.
I ended up standing up and cutting in and going, why is... can we have a drink?
Right. Years ago, when a new whistleblowing policy was introduced to our school, a colleague said, is that really necessary? Surely we all know how and when to blow a whistle. I use mine every day on the playground. We both laughed together years afterwards. A confession from myself. When I first saw a whistleblowing policy... I was the same.
You thought
I was
just...
like, this health and safety stuff. Why do we need to be? Why do you need a policy about when to blow a whistle? Right, I've got some cringe for you as well. Our head teacher taking the whole school assembly wearing Lycra cycling shorts. It was best to keep our eyes fixed on the children. Now, I know a friend worked at a school who had an infamous head who used to do that all the time. He'd cycle to school and then stand there at the front in Lycra doing an assembly.
Smuggling nuts.
Oh, my. Yeah. Being called up class by class in a whole school assembly to be given a random dance to dance off. Dance off? To in front of the whole school. It was like some sort of weird clapping, dancing, follow the leader conga line whilst sober and everyone was watching. My... Why would you not be sober in school?
I know, yeah.
My class's song was Crazy Right Now, Beyonce. Me and the kids equally died of embarrassment. It sends me into hot sweats even thinking about it 10 years later. Dance off with each class teacher.
Yeah, but right, so I get that, like, they, or they're joining the staffing, but it's the fact that she was like, strangely enough, I was sober, like 10 a.m. on a Tuesday, like, yeah.
I sent an all...
Anyway, did a quick shot of Sambuca, came out to Crazy in Love.
I sent an all staff email asking if anyone had taken my very much loved Clarins water bottle out the fridge. When I went back to have a proper look, it was just right there at the back of the fridge.
I mean, that is just textbook, isn't it?
To this day, it makes my skin crawl whenever I remember.
Don't worry about it. Yeah. There's much bigger things happening than your water bottle.
Made a bad underwear choice and was driven mad all day with knickers that kept sliding down. By home time, I'd had enough. So once on my own in my section of the building, I decided to take them off. I was heading to my car parked next to the room anyway, so I thought I'd be fine. Just about to pick them up off the floor when the classroom door opened. Ended up having a conversation with someone whilst trying to hide my underwear still at my feet. I threw them away when I got home.
Threw them away?
Why? It's funny, isn't it, what some people think's really embarrassing to us would just be like...
It's like that woman, like, 5 years later just going like, oh, like, are you okay? Like, no, I just remembered that water bottle like 5 years ago.
That email sent.
I stripped and straddled a chair to Meatloaf at work too while a lot of people were still sober.
I'd only been working as a TA for a few months when we had Ofsted in. The little year two boy I was supporting at the time was sitting outside with me. I had to try and keep him as calm as he could potentially be disruptive during a lesson. The head inspector, who happened to be bald, seated himself on a child's chair with his back to the door. After 10 minutes, I took said child back into the class. As he walked past the inspector, he nogginged him on the head saying, "All right, mate." The inspector looked shocked, but laughed.
Noggins! Dude!
All right, mate!
You deadly rock, Squirt!
Now give me some fin. Noggin. Dude. Sitting in front of a small year six class explaining what sex was while 6 months pregnant. Oh. That's got to be cringe,
yeah,
isn't it?
That's got to be tough. All the kids would be like, you did it.
Yeah.
You did it.
No, it's that moment of realisation where the children are like, no.
No way.
Like the big
she did
twist,
it.
Twist in a film. No.
She totally did it, Squirt.
Give me some fin.
I don't know if Squirt's right. Noggin. Dude.
Another mystery here. My false boob escaping. Fortunately, it was key stage one. I don't think they noticed.
False boob escaping?
Is that like another chicken fillet sack type thing?
It could be a chicken fillet, yeah. Unless she's just got like a ziplock.
I don't think you have a zip.
I left my zip open.
Possibly cringy, but I thought it was funny. A primary child asked an Ofsted inspector, "Are you wearing those teeth for Halloween?"
Oh, that is brilliant. Oh my god.
And we'll finish with this because I think this is quite cringy, to be fair. I had an interview with Ofsted during an inspection, so wore a new blouse. As I got up to leave, one of the inspectors commented on how nice the blouse was and what an absolute bargain. Turns out I had a huge sale label hanging on the back.
You know what? Those damn Ofsted inspectors. Just to add the harshness...
Oh my God, what about that? Years ago as a TA, I was at an EYFS new parent meeting being expected to take drinks around and getting my butt squeezed by a dad.
Oh no. Oh. No, absolutely not.
God. Some parents...
I'd give him a noggin there. A Glasgow noggin! Some parents.
Some parents, honestly. Sneezed and pulled out a tissue from a bag, only it wasn't a tissue, but a clean spare pair of knickers. That's all right.
But why? Do women often take spare knickers out?
Do you never...
I don't take spare boxers.
I always... If I'm going away, not to necessarily school.
Oh, yeah, obviously, if you're going away. I'm talking like every day at school, just like, got my insulin, got my inhalers, got a spare pair of gruds. Nah.
Here's another one. The time a dad thought it would be fun to sneak up on me and wallop me on the backside as I bent over to pick up a box. And my feminist reflexes took over and I whacked him one straight in the face.
That's unbelievable. That's just not even funny. That's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah, no, but the teacher give...
No, I know, I love that. I'm not
love
saying...
Love that.
Yeah, I love the teacher giving some.
Yeah, yeah. We have a split sight. I was walking between them. A car pulled up next to me. I kept walking. The car followed me really slowly. I kept walking. Then someone shouted my name. I looked, and the head teacher was in the car offering me a lift. I thought he was a curb crawler. just walking like, leave me alone.
Yeah. Who are you?
Oh, God. Right, we'll finish there if that's all right. Thank you so much for listening. As always, please do head over to Apple Podcasts, leave a review. If you've not yet got your tickets for the tour, go ahead. If you want to treat a special teacher or a special member of staff in your school, why not get a copy of the book or get those tickets for the live shows, the live tour happening in October. And like I say, if you've got any funny stories about end of year do's, anything end of year relating, transition day fails, funny end of year gifts or funny staff end of year do stories, share them with us at twomrpspodcast.com and we will see you next week.
Take care.